Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, it's because of you and your Son, Jesus, that we can sing what we just sang, that we are not divided, all one body, we. And Father, help us be united as we study, as we dive in your word together. Holy Spirit, would you work in each one of our hearts and minds today in a mighty and awesome way, whether we're here in person or online. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we are in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, if you have your Bibles with you. And we are looking at this discussion of spiritual warfare. What does this look like? The battle still rages today. And one of the resources that I utilized to develop the sermon was a book called Spiritual Warfare by Ray Stedman. And as we look, as we just dive into this text, verse 10 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." If we're going to be in a battle that still rages, we got to be strong in the Lord. If we're trying to be strong in ourselves, we're trying to fight on our own, we will succumb to the enemy. We will lose. So we have to be strong in who? Not ourselves, in the Lord, in the strength of his might. And then if we look at verse 11, we see that the Lord God gives us what we need to fight the battle. Look at what it says. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So he gives us this armor. He provides for you and me. And see, what we see with this description in verse 11 that God provides this armor, you and I know that each and every day of our lives, God provides, right? He provides faith, grace, hope. He provides all that we have, our clothes, our food, our house, our jobs. This is one other way that he provides, but it's a big way. He supplied the complete armor to fight the battle with the devil and his minions. But he expects the Christian, you as followers of Jesus, to put on the armor. And we get our equipment that we need in full completeness. And he sends us out into this battle with everything we need at our disposal. He doesn't just say, "All right, go ahead, you're on your own." He gives us what we need. But look, if you look at this text as we go through each piece of armor, you'll see that there's not a lot of protection for the back. Why? Because we have to stand up to our enemy. It says it, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In verse 13, it says that you would stand firm. In verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore." We stand up to the devil. So, what else do we need to do? What else does this say? Well, verse 12 is a really terrific verse in a way that describes what kind of battle we're up against and who we're battling. It's very descriptive. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." See, the Apostle Paul, as he writes this, gives us something that's difficult to understand at sometimes. He tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against human beings, other human beings in our lives. Our struggle is a spiritual struggle against the devil and his minions and the forces of darkness. It's not a political struggle or social struggle or economic struggle. It's not a religious or doctrinal struggle. Not against human beings. It's against the devil and all of those spiritual forces that are against Jesus. Now, if I ask you this question, what's one thing that gives you the most difficulty in life? What would you say? For a lot of us, probably something, some part of our answer would have something to do with other people in our lives, in one form or another. You may struggle with a family member, a spouse, a parent, a child, or you may have personality conflicts and struggles within your office or your church even, other brothers and sisters in Christ that you just don't get along with, or even those neighbors around you in your neighborhood. But the Apostle Paul says this isn't about flesh and blood. This is not our true battle, who we're fighting against. Wayne Barber says, our enemy's not people, but this confuses me. Because when I get out there, I realize I can see people, but I can't see the real enemy. How quickly I'm suckered in the trap of thinking people are my enemy. I've said this many times. If it were not for people, I could live the Christian life. Maybe in your prayer at times you said, God, will you just get rid of this person who's bothering me? It'll be okay then. We have this thought that that's our battle. People are our enemies. But what our enemy is what controls the people that are saying or doing things. People are not my enemy. We think if we can defeat them in some way, if we can get rid of them, we can have peace and victory. But that's not the way it works. We can't fight each other. We can use hateful words and we try to tear each other down so that we build ourselves up, as if we're in some kind of competition with one another. We forget we're on the same team. If we fight one another, we lose. The war has already been won at Calvary because of Jesus. We're not each other's enemies. But you may say, flesh and blood are the ones who bring me harm. I mean, whenever I read that text or that email or that hurtful letter or I hear those words, I'm looking at somebody, flesh and blood, that's saying those things to me. And it hurts. See, Paul's trying to say our enemy is what controls people, that the devil uses us as pawns against one another. We come into temptation because of our own sinful flesh, because the devil loves to try to get at us and put us against one another. The devil loves chaos. Have you noticed that in our world? He loves chaos. He loves also twisting the truth. What Adam and Eve dealt with, he twists the truth a little bit. Genesis 3, he still loves doing the same thing for you and me today. We haven't evolved that much as people because we still give in to the same old original trick that the devil used with Adam and Eve. It still works for us. But here's what's going on. We're not at battle with one another. Look at verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done it all, stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we stand firm, and we have this breastplate of righteousness that God has given us as part of our armor. And what it's saying is this. Are we standing on our own righteousness? No, we're not standing on our own righteousness. We're standing on the righteousness that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, has given us. So we're not standing on our own merits. We've never done anything worthwhile in our lives for us to give to God and go, oh yeah, that's going to save you. That's not the way it works. We can quit trying to be good enough to please God, because the only way we came to God is through the Father, through Jesus the Son, on behalf of the Father giving us his Son to give us this grace and this mercy. It's not your miserable, tattered righteousness that covers your sins. It's the righteousness of Jesus. This righteousness that Jesus gives us is durable enough to deflect any of the arrows of Satan's accusations. In all circumstance, even the shield of faith in verse 16, you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. All of these pieces of armor help us win the war against the devil, because it's already been won because of Jesus, who gives us all of this armor. This is an amazing gift that you and I have. No matter what we're dealing with in life, Jesus is with us. Now, you may be saying, well, okay, I got all this armor. Why? Well, because the devil attacks. That's his character. That's his nature. If you haven't been attacked, you will be. Unless you're not really sharing the hope and joy of Jesus, then you're not a threat for the devil. He's just going to leave you alone. But if you're sharing the hope and joy of Jesus, you're being obedient to God's word, you don't have a hardened heart toward the faith and mercy and grace that Jesus has given you, you're a threat to the evil one. So just be ready. He's going to come after you. But it's okay, because God's given you what you need to fight him. Faith, salvation, grace, righteousness. And here's an interesting thing. God allows the devil to attack. He allows it. This is, the devil has kind of authority in the world, but isn't it funny, like with Job, the devil had to ask permission before he did anything to Job? I just think that's hilarious. Like, the devil's like, yeah, I'm going to take you out. God, can I take them out? Like, he has to ask for permission. Why? Because Jesus reigns, but Jesus allows the devil to go after us. Why? Maybe we need those tests, those attacks, to show that Jesus is with us, and also that when Jesus is all we have, then Jesus is all we need. And so we have to hold fast to Christ in the midst of those attacks, knowing that that accomplishes, even in ways we don't understand, God's will for our lives. But know this, the devil has a very limited sphere of control and activity. He does not win. He is not victorious, but he does come after you. Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." Jesus in the book of Gospel of John says, "In this world you'll have trouble," but he goes on to add what? "Take heart, I've overcome the world." But this is exactly the opposite way that we feel a lot of times. When attacked, we think something unusual is happening to us. No one's ever gone through what I'm going through right now. But Paul says, "No temptation has seized you except what's common to man." Translation, it happens to everybody. There's other people that have been through what you are going through. You are not alone. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. What that means is, on your own, you will succumb to the temptations. You will not be able to handle it. But Jesus is fighting for you and with you. So it's all going to be okay. So we put on the full armor of God. So we take a stand against the devil's scheme. He loves to attack, sometimes by force, sometimes by fraud. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. but he and his minions are on the prowl. Ephesians 6, verse 16, talks about the shield of faith. And this is really a great tool that we have, because when you think of a shield, a lot of times you just think of an individual warrior holding a shield, like trying to protect themselves. But in ancient warfare, shields were most effectively used with people, comrades in arms, like everybody joining together. They had slightly curved rectangular Roman shields, and they would create a shield wall. These shields covered the entire torso from the shoulder to the knees. They were designed to interlock with the shields of fellow soldiers. And so those on the front line, they had their shields up vertically, overlapping the shields of their neighbors. And the second rank behind had their shields over their heads, protecting not only themselves, but also the soldiers in front of them. So this tortoise-like formation was slow-moving. It wasn't very nimble, but it protected the combatants from a frontal assault with swords and spears and battle axes, but also from above with rocks and arrows raining down. As long as the shield wall held up, everybody kind of kept their positions, a swift frontal assault could be turned into a punishing battle of attrition, where the Roman army always won. So it's fitting that Paul writes in Ephesians 6:16, there's this shield of faith, because faith is most effectively exercised not in isolation, but in community. So we're like that line of with shields, this tortoise setup, where we can't fight this battle on our own. We have to have community, the community of faith that Jesus has given us. You realize it's no accident that you're here. You could say, well, I church shopped. I found, like, Pastor Rich was great. His preaching and teaching was awesome, and everybody was awesome here. That's how I ended up at Grace. Well, you can think that, but that's not really what happened. God puts you here. It's no accident that you're here. And we have this family of faith, this body of Christ, brothers and sisters, to live out this community of faith together. And we fight together. We encourage one another together. We pray together. We share God's word together so that we can fight the battle that we're in the midst in of because of the devil. You know, when a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is living in obedience to God's word, he threatens Satan's rule on earth. We, as followers of Jesus, when we live the life that Jesus gives us of faith, holding fast to him, we dispel more and more patches of darkness from the world around him. The devil is going to try to get all of the human race to join with him. And so he's going to come after you, and he's going to be persistent in his attacks. He sometimes attacks us as a roaring lion, clawing at us through catastrophic circumstances. You've seen that in your life. Sometimes he comes as an angel of the light, where there's seduction and alluring things that look really good on the surface, but they're not. They're destructive. And then other times he comes in just a way where he has subtle ways that he comes to us, where you just twist the truth just enough so that you're confused. He comes in very different ways, but he does try to attack. Stories told of a chess champion who was on vacation in Europe, and he decided to go to this art gallery, and he came to this painting about chess. And on one side, there was the devil, laughing and smiling as he's playing chess with this young man that has sweat coming from his forehead. He's got tears in his eyes. His teeth are gritted. He just looks terrible, while the devil has his hand on the chessboard about to make his final move. The chess champion came to understand the meaning of this portrait when it was called checkmate. You see, the devil is about to make the final move to win this young man's soul. The devil was laughing, and the young man was terrified because he thought he couldn't do anything about it. The chess champion was so taken by this portrait, he studied it for several hours, and then finally he broke out into a smile. And he went to the proprietor of the art gallery and said, "Hey, do you have a chessboard?" Well, the staff was looking all over, and they finally found a chessboard. And this chess champion set the chessboard right under the painting and set it up looking exactly as it did in the painting, with all the pieces exactly where they were in the painting. And after he'd done this, the man looked at the portrait, he looked down at the chessboard, and he kind of did that a couple of different times. And then he turned the chessboard to the young man's side of the painting and said, "Young man, I wish you could hear me right now, because if you could, you would stop trembling and wipe the tears from your eyes, because I have good news for you. I'm a chess champion. I know this game backwards and forwards. You're trembling for no reason at all. It only looks like the devil has the final move. He's tricked you, but there's still one more move left on the board. Your life can be transformed. The devil doesn't get to make the last move. You do." See, the human race is in the same position as this young man in the painting. It looks like the devil's won the chess game of history, and people are trembling in fear. Friends, he hasn't won. He's not victorious. Jesus is victorious. The war has already been won because of Jesus. We can take comfort and hope in that. There's still a battle, but the war's done. That's why we can sing what we sang earlier, "Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before." And in verse 18, it talks about prayer, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Another tool that we have to combat the devil. And you know, this is a prayer that I pray, and it's from Scripture when Jesus was talking to Peter. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." I use that sometimes whenever I feel like there's spiritual warfare going on, whether it's in your life or my life, in our church's life. And I say, "Lord, would you have the devil get behind us?" And I list whatever specific situation it is. Prayer matters. Prayer is a gift from God and a tool. And there is power in prayer. While crossing the Atlantic on a ship many years ago, a Bible teacher and author named F.B. Meyer was asked to speak to the passengers on this boat. And there was an agnostic on the boat, and he listened to Meyer's message and about answered prayer, and he told a friend, "I really don't believe a word of this." Well, later that same day, the agnostic was going to go hear Meyer speak to another group of passengers. But before he went to the meeting, he put two oranges in his pocket, and he was walking to the talk, and he saw this lady sitting on her chair outside on the deck of the ship, and she was asleep, and her arms were out like this on the chair, and her hands were open, and he thought, as a practical joke, he would just put both oranges in her hands. And so that's what he did. He put oranges in her hands and just walked on by. And after the meeting, he saw the woman happily eating one of the oranges. "You seem to be enjoying that orange," the agnostic said. "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." "What do you mean?" said the agnostic. She explained, "I've been seasick for days. I was asking God somehow to send me an orange. I fell asleep while I was praying. And then when I woke up, I found he not sent me just one, but two oranges." The agnostic was so amazed by the unexpected confirmation of Meyer's talk on answered prayer that later he became a follower of Jesus. Friends, you and I are in the midst of a battle that still rages on, but you're victorious because of Jesus. You have defeated, because of Jesus, the power of sin and darkness and the devil, because Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil on the cross and out of that tomb. And so, yeah, we have battles, but he's with us as we fight our battles. That's how we fight our battles, because of Jesus, who is your hope and joy. Amen. Please rise.